Blog Talk Radio.
By a team of voices. It's a group on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And we'd like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for all they do. And of course, thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page so that we can share our poetry live. I am your host, Guy Darkholm, and this is Down the Tube. Really random stuff. I always have a couple topics, and we always seem to go off topic, but that's okay too. I hope you enjoyed The music, it was a cover by David Gray, originally, this year's Loving, and David Gray wrote this for British Films, this year's Love, a romantic comedy set in Camden Town area of London. The director, David Kane, was a big David Gray fan and asked him to compose the song. Gray had never written on commission before, but he welcomed the challenge, and it was featured on his White Ladder album. Gray had to use the title, but other than that, the song doesn't reflect the film. The lyric film finds him with his back to the wall in a romantic sense, knowing that this year's love might be his last chance. He was writing in character. Gray had been married since 1993. He wrote the song so quickly in a fit of inspiration, and in his words, I took the words of this year's love and started to play them with a sort of melody. And then within an hour or so, I'd written a song right then quickly and made a quick recording of it, quite a primitive recording, and I sent it off to the director, my manager, and various interested people just to see what they thought. And to my enormous surprise, they came back saying they really liked it. I had no idea that I had any kind of power, really. I was just following my instinct. And it is one of my favorite songs. And the cover was done by a friend of mine, Dave Bunza. And as it is October, I always like to celebrate his life. And he emailed me that one, and he made the arrangement because it's one of my favorite songs. I have one with or without drums because he gave me options, which is always wonderful. But, and without further ado, I do have some callers on the line. I'd like to say hello to Rackentor.
Hey.
Hello, how are you?
I'm alive.
Good, I'm glad.
Well, you know, sometimes I...
Yeah. We also have on the line, hello, Stephen.
Hello. I'm alive, and so are you.
I know, I kind of feel, I want to sing, you know, I'm alive. I don't know why, I just did.
Staying alive, staying alive.
Oh, there's another one. There's another one. Staying Alive kind of reminds me of The Fly.
Mm.
And I don't know. Someone's going to be doing some stuff later today. I didn't get to read the book, but I must still want to stop by. But I know that you have got to go. Thanks for calling. And your poem's up on the board, and stick around after because I do want you to plug and yeah.
Okay. I wrote to the giant dragonflies. I didn't really watch the video because I never had time, but I did do a little reading about them, so I figured, and then I let my imagination take over the rest of it, and I call it Helicopter Huntsman from History. Hovering and darting across Stone Age fields, a walleye-sized nymph morphing yields. Cavemen do run as they cover their heads, as carnivorous dragonfly causes them dread. Whirring wings like the blades through the air, helicoptering through nightmare, feeding on those birds of prey, mandibles to feathers flayed. Emerald shiny body streaks, skimming swampland mountain peaks. To forest floor this monster strafes, where no creature can be safe. And poem.
Excellent. You know, I'll tell you what. We would not survive. First of all, I love the picture that you brought with it. I always love these prehistoric things, and I am going to talk about the facts later on, as I usually do. And this is just so cool how you brought it in. Hovering and darting across age fields, or like stone age fields. I like how you put the setting in right in the beginning so people know what you're talking about. Because not many people know that there were huge dragonflies once upon a time that are scary. I also love how you kind of put like the carnivorous dragonfly causes them dread, and then the whirring wings, blades, like blades to the air, because I would imagine it would sound, when you say blades, it reminds me of helicopters, and I would, and then that's obviously that's where you went with the second line that you had there, but I was already there, even before you mentioned helicopters, I was already in my mind with the wings, like blades was right there with the helicopter. And I would imagine that's what they might sound like. So I think that was pretty cool. And it would give me nightmares. And I like to play on birds of prey. I don't know if you did that on purpose or what, but I thought that was a cool little DC additive in there. It might not have been, but I thought it was pretty awesome. And then, of course, you bring in the land and their kind of shiny body and the colors of it. I can picture it and I probably would be mortified. I probably would never go out if we. I mean, I feel like if humans were alive, if they went out, they would be dead. So we might be cave dwellers, just saying. excellent piece. I love that you did a little bit of reading. I really appreciate that. And I hope you learned something while you were doing it as well. And it sounds like you did. And, Rock, what do you think?
I love that you kind of latched onto the word fly in this because I could see several references. You didn't say he was zipping about, but that was kind of where my mind went to, you know, but I'm a little more punny than when it flies and zipping. But the whole larger than a walleye, you know, fly fishing kind of came to mind when you said that. So I really like that because I know you like to fish. So that came out in this, believe it or not, in addition to everything else that you have, you know, about the thing flying around and eating everybody and everything. So it came across like a true horror story, but in a very friendly way. I thought you did a great job with it, though. I really liked it.
Thank you. Yeah, I always thought, even dragonflies of today, when I used to look at them when I was a kid, I always thought that they looked like little tiny helicopters. That's why I had to go that way.
I like dragonflies, but I couldn't imagine them that big. So, I mean, when you think it's really like they have a wingspan of like, you know, I mean, but about 3 feet. You're like, oh, that's not that big. Well, I'm like 4 foot. So, yeah, that's like my whole length. That's like almost as tall as me. So that's frightening, flying through the air and coming at you. Excellent, Keith. I really appreciate you writing, Stephen, and coming by and visiting. And do you want to plug any shows? I feel like I'm a little out of it. I have not been on the air a lot, so please forgive me.
That's all right. Yeah. Like you said, tonight at 9 p.m., Sci Friday is on Thursday, and we are looking at both versions of The Fly, the 1958 version and the 86 version with Jeff Goldblum. Got quotes from both films. And we've got some clips to listen to, and we're anticipating some pretty in-depth discussion about both movies as well. So it should be fun. That's at 9 p.m. tonight. And then the next show would be yours, Sky, if you wanted to plug that.
Absolutely. I've only seen the Jeff Goldblum one. So I don't think I've seen another one. But Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are kicking off some more Halloween-y things with Coraline. It is movies you do not know were comics, but it is also a book. I have not read the comics, but I did read the book. The book was great. The movie was great. A little weird. But I do love it. And of course, Tim Burton, Danny Elfman team up again for another year of Halloween. I think I've done a Tim Burton, Danny Elfman every year since I've had storyboards. Because I think the first year we did Nightmare Before Christmas. I think the second year we did Corpse Bride. And now we're doing Coraline. So I think we're...
It's a trend.
We'll probably come. Huh?
The trend.
What? Yeah.
So it's a trend.
It is. So do you want to continue on to Monday, Stephen?
Yeah, I'll just do Monday, which is the Mortuary of Shadows, next Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And we're going to go with a classic horror flick. Okay, and I actually went and saw it in the theater the other week. Poltergeist, the original Poltergeist from 1982, starring Craig T. Nelson. What's that?
Where are you seeing all these old movies in theaters?
They're doing, TCM is sponsoring it, where they're showing anniversaries of these movies in the theaters now. Last weekend was In the Heat of the Night, and I know next week we're going to go see, next month we're going to go see To Kill a Mockingbird. So, yeah.
I know, I want to have to see if I have that around here. I think that's pretty cool. I don't think we do, but
yeah,
I'm
they call
see.
Them Fathom Events. Look up Fathom Events online, and should see something.
All right. Stephen, I know that you can't stay for too long today. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for dropping that link for me. You know what I mean. I appreciate it.
Yes. Have a good night. I got to go get something to eat.
All right, you too. I will see you at 9-ish.
Nine-ish. See you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so Stephen went with the Maganera, and it is a star of the French Museum collection. This is a giant dragonfly, and of course it lived 300 million years ago in a huge equatorial warm forest that at this time, would have covered the center of France. I don't know. I can't talk tonight. It was almost a little over a foot long, and it had a wingspan about 2 feet, and it was one of the largest known insects. So from about 360 to 299 million years ago. And at the time, there were a lot of large insects like cockroaches, which I'm not doing. I'm not doing a show on that. And the reason why they were so big, one of the reasons why, is because the percentage of oxygen in the air was twice the current level than it is now, nearly 40%, which would have favored, these large animals. And the expansion is based on the ecological factors, more related to the absence of flying predatory, other flying predators. So there you go. What do you think, Rack? You want to be hanging out with some huge dragonflies?
I could just imagine the infomercials that would come about. You know, because the craziness that we have now, imagine if things were, twice the size, they'd be coming out with some crazy stuff. The thing that some guy came up with, it's called a bug assault, where it's basically like an air gun, but you load it with salt, so it acts like a shotgun for insects. So you could use it indoors because it's salt, and you could, like, shoot the mosquitoes out of the air with it.
If I was rich, I would go visit this in France. I keep saying French. I don't know. I'm like, I totally can't speak tonight. I'm so sorry. I am so spent. This is the first night that I've had. I had 3.5 hours to myself about, and I laid in bed and, like, listened to an audiobook, and that is all I did. I didn't even move. I think I had the popcorn. I think that was it. But I'm pretty spent, so please, like
you
I
need
said.
Time for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been pretty busy. But, yeah, so like I said, I would just, if I were rich, I would just, you know, I would come pick you up and we would just go look at giant dragonfly fossils in France.
That would be
and
awesome.
And then
we would go see a Coraline on Broadway.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I love that. Coraline is really freaky. It's freaky. It's a good. But it is a dark.
I'm mangling the show, the play Chorus Line, so I'm not being sincere.
I just asked my godson. He loves classical music, and some people could say that is in part to me exposing it to him,
mm-hmm.
but I've exposed classical music to all three of my godchildren. He's the only one that stands it. And, you know, the other two were like, could you put odd words with songs, please? I mean, with words. That's the other way around. Can you please put some songs on with words? And he loves it. He'll actually say, can we put on some classical, please? And so I said to him, I said, you know, it's been a lifelong mission of mine to go see Swan Lake on, you know, go see Swan Lake. And I was like, would you want to do that with me? I'm not going to find somebody to do that with me. So he was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, all right, well, we're going to have to figure out how to do that.
It's funny when you hear the music in you know, the movies and, you know, back in the day, it was more prevalent, you know, before they had, you know, the soundtracks and everything of people, you know, actually talking and things like that. You'd hear things and you'd almost envision how they came up with some of these, compositions to like, you know, the guy walking behind, you know, the fat guy with the tuba music and the baby elephant walk and things like that. It's like, you know, those are actual songs. Even how long was the Lone Ranger on TV before people realized that song, the William Tell, it's the William Tell Overture, it's not the Lone Ranger. It's like, really?
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
So I've got one more poem drop. We are still going to talk about the other ones. I think, you know, I know Deb is probably going to call in, but I want you to tell me what poem you want me to share. And then I think we're going to go off the grid. I think I've got a giant cat poem that's kind of weird. I think that, you know, speaking of giant oversized things, so we can probably do that. But this is by Rose Winter 515, and thank you for posting. Thank you for putting this poem up. It's called Coral Ecosystems Protect the Earth, and here we go. Coral ecosystems protect the Earth. Pollution and destruction of coral reefs threaten marine ecosystems around the world. How can you help? Of his bones are coral made. So penned Shakespeare. But is it possible for people to truly to be new reefs when buried with funeral reefs? Now ask people in Florida who have done precisely this for their clients. End poem. And of course, she's talking about my first prompt, which we will talk about. That's the reef remains. Firstly, I want to say thank you so much for writing this poem. I had never heard of this before till recently. And, you know, I thought about it. So, like, I definitely want to be a tree. I don't want to get buried. I don't want to get cremated. I want to be a tree. That's like, you can do these things. And then what they basically, and to not sound too, you know, gruesome, they basically put your body in a bag and they put it underneath the roots of a tree, and then your body feeds off of the nutrients from your body and gives to the tree as you degrade. And I think that it's a beautiful thing. It is eco-friendly. And I've seen this with the ocean, but then I was like, It's cool, and I love the ocean, but I think I love trees more. So it didn't win me over completely, but I thought it was such a cool thing. I love that, not to go too much about the topic it's on, because I'll talk about that a little after, but the way that you brought it in, how you talk about the ecosystems and the marine life and how the coral reefs are in danger, you put that right in there. I love the Shakespeare quote. I thought that was really cool how you put that in, of his bones are coral made. I thought that that was quite brilliant, and I was a bit surprised that you kind of put it in there. Happily so. And I love the little questions. How can you help? How can you help this, you know, the world build back its coral reefs? Well, here we go. You can have the coral reef remains in Florida. And I thought this was cool. And I also like how you put in the author's notes a little bit of the information on the topic and to put out awareness and say, hey, you know, if you're looking for a way to be buried and you want it to be more eco-friendly, here you go. Let's do this. So I appreciate you writing. And thank you so much. Rack, what do you think?
I think she sounds a lot like you. The poem was, I loved it. It took me a minute to realize that it was you reading. I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that's the guy. Sorry. I thought it was a really cool piece, and I really appreciated the Shakespeare quote in the middle of that as well. I thought that was – it fit like a glove. It was absolutely perfect. And the idea is cool, too. As a factual piece and as a poetic piece, it was well written and well told. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Rack. And definitely excellent and excellent poem. Thank you. And excellent comment. And a little bit about, and I usually talk about it before I read, but I'm a little flying by today. But the coral reefs that she's talking about are, they have this thing down in Florida. And they are making, so what they used to do, or what they still do, I think, and by they, I'm being very broad, was to think large, you know, to try to build back the marine life. They would say, okay, we have this big boat, we have this big thing, let's sink it in the ocean, and then and basically disposing of large vessels as well. But what they're finding, of course, is you can't just, you know, dump
big
man-made metal things into the ocean and expect it really to become good in the long run. So what they're doing now is you can have your remains kind of fused with other natural things and then made into a coral reef. And then they put a plaque on it, like it's a grave site, but it builds back the coral reef in the sea. So I thought that was really cool. Yeah. So I mean,
didn't they do that with automobiles? They took the
shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be doing these things. And of course, the coral reefs are dwindling from like pollution, global warming, overfishing, and they're causing it to be bleached and damaged, or completely destroyed. So what can you do? Well, you can contribute to restoring it with your body. I think it's pretty cool. And they almost had me, but, like, I want to be a tree. That's it. And there's that.
I want to be a tree.
Yeah, I know. But
a tree ant.
I do have one more that we had really random stuff, but I'll save that one. That's the frogfish. But so what have you been doing, Rack? Do you have any poems for me? This is really random stuff, so you can give me any poem.
If you want a random poem, I had a great Frankenstein poem the other night. You could have that one.
Okay. All right. And And you think I like it a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking on my own page for your poem. I don't know why. Do you have any shows coming up or anything like that?
Next week, I think I'm going to do the moral of the story is going to be the theme for Off the Rack. It's going to be, you know, poems with morals.
Elaborate on that in great detail
You know, back in the day when people didn't tell, they didn't just tell you a story. There was supposed to be like a reason why they said it. You know, they were trying to thing or you know, promote something. You know, and the moral of the story is, you know, don't play ball in the house. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, this could get pretty dark.
Well, it can go in a lot of different directions. I hope. You know, treat people like you want to be treated yourself. You know, that kind of thought. Wherever it takes you, and the moral of the story is, you know, you shouldn't put hot sauce on your wings. You know, I don't know. Wherever it takes you, it could be, you know, glib. It could be dark, like you said. I mean, there were a lot of fairy tales that did have, you know, a dark moral to them. But you know, a lot of them they were trying to teach you something. You know, so whatever you dig up.
Okay. Well, I was thinking I haven't been writing a lot, but I could, you know, in theory, write a dual poem for Coraline. The moral of the story is you don't sew buttons to your eyeballs. We have a caller here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
All right.
We're talking about some really random stuff, Patter.
Random. Okay.
Yeah. We are talking about
Marlon Brando.
We're talking about reefer memes. Did you look at the topic list?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so we're talking about reefer memes. And we were talked about the big dragonflies. We haven't gone to the frogfishes. So if you have anything you want to add to the conversation about the reef remains or the dragonflies, that's where we've been. I mean, you're welcome to.
Well, I know the dragonfly is successful hunting 100% of the time. He never misses.
Oh, well, can you imagine that just in super size?
I know. Yeah. 6-foot dragonfly. That's scary.
I'm with Sky. She hung on the thought of the noise it would make.
Terrifying. Absolutely
like
terrifying.
Sheep shears. Yeah, it would be.
So, with the reef remains? Because I only recently learned about that.
Reef remains? You're talking about a dead reef, or remains that fall on the reef?
No, what they're doing is they used to drop like tanks and stuff like that to try to rebuild the coral reef, and they're realizing how bad that is. I mean, I feel like I could have told them that before, and I'm not. Biologist, like I don't know, but what they're doing now is this place down in Florida, they're mixing like you could get your body, your bones, you know, and they mix it with like a few organic things and they put it in the ocean, and you essentially they're making, you know, reefs out of your bone, your marrow, and so it's more organic and they're rebuilding the reef. And you could put, like, a plaque in there, like a grave site, and you're giving back to the earth with your body.
You know,
instead of putting a coffin in the earth. Huh?
Yeah, I could understand the philosophy behind that, but that's sort of creepy. I don't know.
I was like, that's pretty cool,
yeah.
But it didn't, like
it
I
is,
was telling Ralph. They do the same thing with trees. They put you in a little bag. I know that sounds weird, but then you feed the tree, and they plant a tree, and you feed the tree, and the tree grows, and it and has your, you know, as you degrade, it takes the nutrients, and I think that's a beautiful thing, and I definitely think I'll be doing that.
I'm for that.
Yeah, no, you're
could
for
mean,
that, but not
in this approach.
That's less creepy in the dirt.
No, you mind that's less creepy. Well, we have a little poem now. Do you want me to read this, Rex? Because there's no audio. I don't see an audio.
No, there's no audio. But yeah, it needs to be read.
All right. Is it hard? Okay, I'll try.
I don't think so.
Do you want me to read it, or do you want me to ask if Hatter feels like reading it? Which one? Does it have to be in a man's voice, or can I do it?
You could definitely do it.
Okay, here we go. Frankenstein by Raconteur. Cherry-picking salvaged pieces and bits, then cobbling them all together. In the ensuing storm, a spark of life hit, predicting an insane endeavor. The resulting patchwork of stitches and scars takes on a life of its own. Under governance of moonlight and stars, we plummet headlong into the unknown. Is there a monster silhouetted in daylight, or is what matters totally misunderstood? Is our perception tinged by fright, obscuring the difference between malevolence and good? Who are we to challenge what we find, looking into a mad scientist's mind? End poem. Excellent. So, Hatter, this is not a poem about either three subjects, but we went off kilter, and this is really random stuff. So, like, people write about stuff, we talk about stuff, and if you call, you could read whatever you want, and that's how, as long as you talk about the topics that I put up, that's how I roll. This is so awesome. I thought it was great. I'm glad you had me look this one up because I love Frankenstein. I always thought Frankenstein was a real monster and not Frankenstein's monster. So I think the doctor was always the, I mean, I don't know. I just, I don't know if it was, I just don't know. I think he was really misunderstood. I think from what I'm reading from your poem, I think we really agree. So when you think of perception and when you see somebody, you look at this monster who never learned how to cope, who never learned how to be a person because he was shunned, you know, right away, obviously. And I mean, you expect people to just, I mean, yeah, I just totally agree with it. I thought the way that you put it was excellent. I loved how you say cobbling them together. There were a couple ones that really stood out to me. This one right here, the patchwork of stitches and scars. And then there's a bits of rhyme in here. And then when it was said, where was it? Right here. This is what I really love, this one. Is there a monster silhouetted in daylight, or is it what matters totally misunderstood? Is it our own perception tinged in fright, by fright, rather? So are we just being blindsided by our own fears and we're saying, okay, we're essentially, not to be cliche, judging a book by its cover and saying, okay, you know, this is a monster, but what about the soul beneath, you know? And I think that's why I always felt bad for Frankenstein's monster. I just thought he was just a misunderstood soul and led astray. It was actually quite sad, sad story.
Yeah,
this was wonderful piece. Huh?
It definitely was.
Yeah, I mean, this was a great piece, and I'm really glad that you brought it. How did the show go? Went well, I assume?
Yeah, it was an awesome show.
What was it? It was yesterday?
Yeah.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I was helping my mom yesterday, so I didn't get home so late. Like I said, I haven't had one day. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, the monster was misunderstood. If you think about it, it is a sad story. He didn't do trying to understand when the world coming back to life, being reanimated, and he's being chased by people with torches and fire. So, you know, any animal strikes back. Yeah, then the little mishap with the little girl, it wasn't his fault. Didn't mean to do that. But, when you read it the other night, it was a spot, where is it? I know. Hold on. I can see. I can find
it. It's not that long, Hatter.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
The resulting patchwork of stitches and scars. Yeah, that's pretty much me right there.
Yeah. Well, that was the dual thought, because when the idea came about with Frankenstein, the first thing that came to mind with the bits and pieces, you know, I've been hinting at that in my writing, you know, for a while, with bits and pieces of ourselves. So I thought of that, the idea of a relationship, when I wrote this. And, you know, I that was kind of the underlying thought of the overlap between the monster and you know, someone, you know, cherry picking, you know, when they look at somebody, they're like, you know, I like her arms, but, you know, I like her legs, or, you know, that kind of thought. You know, sometimes people, they look at people and they just look at the pieces of them that they like, and, you know, they ignore the rest. And then when something goes wrong, they forget that, you know, the whole and the sum of their parts, and, you know, the differences. It's really complicated, I thought, and I tried to throw that in there as well.
That's a good angle. Just called bits and pieces. It's sort of like the mask you carry, you wear wherever you go.
And right, and
carry different
pieces. The scars from everything that we've been through.
That's right. Oh yeah. Yeah. You can't see the heart where the big scars are, huh?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Tom. Aaron, glad that you gave it. So, Hatter, I see you write about the frogfish, and we haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love when people write about everyone. It makes me really happy. So I usually talk about what the topic was first. I've been doing it after tonight, but I would like to do it first. It makes more sense. And because you wrote about it, do you want to talk about anything you learned before I add anything in?
Not really. It's just an ambush type face only a mother can love, you know.
All right. Well, I love this fish, and if you don't want to add anything, I'll have you read your poem, and then I'll say some frogfish facts.
Okay. What good are you? A little Susian goes like this. What good are you? You say you're a frog, but you cannot hop on top of that log. What do you do if you're a frog? You can't hop on top of that log. You're more like a dog than a frog. Can you bark like a dog? What good are you? You cannot hop on a log. On top of that log, you cannot bark like a dog. What do you know? Are you a crow? Can you fly as the wind blows? I want to know if you're a crow. You cannot hop. You cannot bark. You cannot fly like the wind. Oh, gosh darn it. You cannot hop. You cannot bark. Cannot fly like the wind blows. Can you be a manatee? Tell me, please, can you be a manatee? I do not believe you are a manatee, nor a crow, nor a dog, nor a frog. You cannot hop, you cannot bark, you cannot fly, and you cannot see to be a manatee. Be a poet so you'll know it, and no one will call you names. So give yourself a break. Don't make a mistake and be a great T-bone steak. Dinner's at 8, don't be late. What good are you anyway?
Matter. And so, like, when somebody tells me about this fish, and like, it seems like, so I made this poem a long time ago, and I called it a snailfish in a fish box. It was my first children's poem I had ever written, and I had told my godson to put a bunch of words together, and I want to make a poem of it. So I wrote a snailfish in a fish box. And basically, fish reminds me of that, because it's kind of like, what the heck is this? Did somebody make it up? Like, that's how weird it is. So I love what you did with it, how you ran with that humor. Like, if you look at this, like, what is going on? And how you're like, can you bark like a dog? Like, what is happening? Where are you? Can you fly like the wind blows? I want to know if you're a crow. Like, you totally just went, like, it seems like you went with one line, and then whatever your mind leapt to immediately, almost like, what do they call that? When you free write and you just keep, there's a word for it. You just keep writing and you don't really have,
well,
it's not like really... Yeah, that's it right there. So you just kind of just keep going. That's what I felt like you did with this. I felt like you took the one line and you just leapt to the next. And wherever your mind went, even how crazy it sounded, you were just like, I'm going to go here. And it was fun and it was creative. It was very Susie, and I do agree. And I do like how you put in the manatee. And I did rhyme there too. And you're kind of catchy. So excellent poem. And Raph, what do you think?
I think I walked away more confused than I was when it started, but I love the like you said, the stream of consciousness. The rhyme was great, you know, and bouncing from one thought to the other, just, you know, you took it in a lovely way. You know, you looked at it and you kind of cocked your head like a dog and you said, "Well, here it comes," and you let us have it, and you know, it came out beautiful. You know, the bouncing from thing to thing was very poignant, because it's memorable when you do that, I think. You know, you look at the traits of things and you see similarities, and that's kind of where your head goes, you know, whether you want to admit it or not. So why not just call them on it, you know? I thought it was great.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I do, before we leave, I'd like to share the poem I wrote last night for his rack show too, for you.
Okay. Before I talk a little bit about the frogfish, you said?
What? No, I was...
Is that what you said?
It's my Frankenstein write that I wrote for rack show.
Oh, okay.
Also.
Put it on the board, and I'm going to say a little bit about frogfish, and then we'll read you. Frogfish. They have actually skin appendages, and it covers the frogfish body, head and fins, and it can be very copious, long, or very short, or even almost invisible. These things are creepy. They're hairy, and they're pretty formidable predators. The frogfish spots its prey. It will follow the prey by eye movement only, and when the prey draws close enough, the frogfish will start moving its lure to bring the prey closer. The prey does not respond to the lure, the frogfish will stealthily start to crawl towards it and attack. Of course, the hairy frogfish's rod is actually modified. First dorsal spine, which is movable, and it's a lure. Looks like a fleshy worm, and kind of like the anglerfish, and it just puts it about, and it, you know, says, "Here you go, you want the fish," and then
it's got like legs. Jesus,
the frogs
like
can
legs.
Open their mouths extremely wide, which allows them to eat their prey whole. No chewing required, so that's quite interesting. It has an extremely flexible stomach, and it can swallow things up. And it has 5 millimeter teeth, which is just terrifying. If you look at the picture, you definitely should look at the picture. And it can change its color to match its surroundings, so it has really great camouflage. And yeah, so I mean, it could be anywhere.
It's right behind you.
I know.
Yeah,
I mean,
walks.
It's really cool. And there are frogfish, but I did put a picture of the hairy frogfish. So, you know, there's different things about these. There's 46 known species of frogfish worldwide in the tropical and temperate seas. And they are carnivorous and obviously, and they're very aggressive. The one I put up is the hairy frogfish because I thought that was really funny looking. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But they're unable to change their color quickly. It could take several weeks for them to change their color. So they can't just be flying around everywhere and changing it.
Like cuttlefish. So.
I thought they walked.
All right. Well,
they look like they're
walking.
Yeah.
You guys at home listening, have a moment. Go and look up some frogfish pictures and make your life complete.
Okay. That's what I'm missing, pictures of dogfish. Okay. Frogfish.
I love watching sea videos. I find them very relaxing, actually. I could just put on a sea video, and I just love it.
And you don't get warts from touching a frog.
What?
And you don't get warts from touching a frog. Frog warts. It's not a thing.
Just toads.
Just toads. All right, Hatter, you could read your Frankenstein poem.
Okay. It's called So Shall It Be. It goes like this. Well, this is the quote that I chose. They came to fight with no warning labels. Fame was worn by the soldiers who were more than just able. It goes like this. Steinberg and Franklin, accredited team and beaten at war, so it seemed. Across the courtroom, they ran their races to all attended towards written on their faces. Too long a defense. It took weeks and weeks. Time was issued in order to keep shortened play by orders delayed. The judge was not amused, thinking too long something was wrong to sentence the wrongly accused. Divide by two, the list of names, day to hours to play the game. Delayed by permission, defend by conviction. No one here is to blame. Too much to share, to show that they care. Steinberg and Franklin charged. Lindenberg sounded absurd, so they tried another way. Berg took Stein, stated its mind, and Lynn took Frank as if by design. Shorter is better, and by losing letters might sound a bit raw. So shall it be. Lawyers are we, Frankenstein, attorneys at law. Frankenstein? No?
Yep. You didn't say end poem, I'm sorry.
Oh, end poem.
I was waiting for you to end poem. This is cool, Hatter. You're very, very clever. I have to tell you, you're very, very clever. I like how you kind of just went with this. Like, there's like longer lines, short lines, and yet when you're reading, it just flows wonderfully. Across the courtroom, they ran the races. Very clever. It was great storytelling, and I like your puns here, and the Steinberg and Franklin changed. Lindenberg sounded absurd, so they tried another way. I think that was my favorite part, actually. And, of course, the closing line with your sense of humor is just absolutely hilarious. I don't think that I would have ever thought to go this way with Frankenstein, so I think it's pretty interesting how your mind works. Excellent.
I thought it was good.
Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed this a lot. You know, it's one of those pieces, you could read it a couple of times. It reminds me of, you know, a joke, because, you know, it's got that sense of humor to it. But at the same time, you know, you could actually, you know, tear it apart to good versus evil kind of a thought. And you know, because everyone thinks lawyers are evil, you know, so or are they evil? You know, it's just one of those things. And, you know, the clever use of language and twisting things around, Frankenstein, attorneys at law. It's clever. It's one of those things. I think I could get behind it. I could definitely get behind it.
Hey, Jack.
Now, what made you decide to go that humor? Like, what inspired?
I'm sorry?
It? Like, what inspired that?
Why I went with humor, with the way I did? Well, because
it was trial and error.
Yeah, nobody's going to expect it. And you know, somewhere Daryl Frank met John Stein, and they two attorneys. Probably went Stein and Frank, yeah. And they had gold in front of them. Who's your attorney, Frankenstein?
It was trial and error before they came up with that name.
Yeah.
Well, I... Oh, no, I can't do that one. I was going to share something with you, but I realized I can't.
The language is prohibitive?
Well, no, because it's for one of Deb's Monday night shows, and I haven't read it yet. But I was only going to read it because it's about tomato basil bisque.
Ah.
And I know how much you enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
Tomato basil bisque, but no, I'm going to wait because it's actually for one I haven't read. I haven't written too much lately, but I wrote for two of Deb's shows, and one of them is about tomato basil bisque. So,
that sounds delicious.
Sounds like the soup Nazi.
Well, you know what it was? Is I was eating tomato basil bisque as I was looking at this picture. Jeff put up these beautiful pictures of, yeah, it's kind of weird how that worked out. But she put up these beautiful pictures, scenic pictures of, like, the sky, and there was, like, this beautiful thing, and the sky was, like, kind of had this reddish sunset type feel, and it had, like, clouds around it. So I was just eating my tomato basil bisque, and I'm like, that sky kind of looks like a bowl of tomato basil bisque. And that's...
Red skies at night. Red skies at night.
I know. And that was pretty much really where it went. Okay, I'm going to put up a poem. It's not about dragonflies. It's not about frogfish, and it's not about coral reefs, but and it's about a huge cat, and so if they're going to have oversized dragonflies, imagine if we had oversized cats. You know, this cat in this picture is as large as the buildings in New York City, and for people that are listening,
if you're going to have giant flies, you need giant cats to catch them, right?
Yeah, you need giant cats. And this is just something fun and silly I did for one of John Coe's fantasy contests that I loved doing. And I loved writing for him because I don't always write a lot of humor. And for him, I just really always went tongue-twisty humor. And I just let it go. And I just love doing that. But this is called A True Story of Widow Whack, City Cats, and Country Diplomats. And I didn't pre-read it, so whew, here we go. By Sky Darko. There was a tight-roping city cat named Robin, not like the flying jay of Mr. Bat, but a goblin. For this feral feline quack had a rapid knack for bobbing down the metal skyline track ladder rack, causing tea time with a whack heart attack. But it doesn't end there, mind you. No, not at all. Yes, he has clawed the walls of the bricklaid malls, played a cat and mouse of doused tennis balls, a roll of gasoline trolled in sewer heat and steam, a fire beam when met with semi-butt-lit streams on the cigarette gutters of trash litter lovers. Oh, he was quite a little bugger. Till days back, when a country bumpkin rolled in with a splat, I guess the moral lies in sometimes the wittier wit is the one with the greener gills and a four-wheel grit. And so, that four little
cat. See, there's your moral of the story.
There's a moral of the story. If you're chomping around, being a big bully, someone's going to come over with a bigger truck and run you over.
That's awesome. And your iambic pentameter was amazing.
I don't think I did any form. No, it wasn't iambic. I was just running around like a crazy person. But thank you. There was not any line scheme. They are really long line rhymes, though. You are right. But I don't think they were done in. They definitely weren't done in pentameter. But yeah. Or iambic,
okay.
And they weren't done in pentameter, but thank you, though. Oh.
Yeah, tongue twister for sure. Yeah, glad I didn't try to read it.
You want one about a kid's poem about a dinosaur?
Absolutely.
I wrote this one with my son, actually, similar to how you were describing. You had your nephew give you words. So I asked him to describe a dinosaur, and just, you know, we rhymed the traits of the dinosaur, and this is what we came up with.
Okay. All right, let me see. AP is texting me, though. Well, not texting, but messaging me. And he said he just put one up, but I deleted the board, so I'm not sure where he put it. Well, when he puts it up, we'll just tell him to put it straight on the board again. I'm not sure where he put it because I deleted my topic list. Okay, let's see. Raconteur. Let me check my studio because I have to be a semi-okay host. Yeah, and Hatter, just so you know, Hatter, none of those words are made up.
You sure? That's funny.
Well, at some point, I guess they have to have been made up because, you know, the words just don't spring into existence, right?
Definitely
a tongue twister. Yeah.
You know what it was? Because I've scarred him because I have made up words.
Right.
Yes, you have.
So what is this called? Is this called dinosaur?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this kind of the prehistoric dragonfly.
Yep.
See, you can connect anything. All right. Does this have an audio? No. All right. It does not, but I can read it. It's okay. All right. Dinosaur in the distance. Hear that roar? Look out. It's a dinosaur. Now you better watch your back. Otherwise, he might attack. 2 tons heavy, 12 feet tall, armored high, and teeth that maul. He certainly is an awesome sight, guaranteed to give a fright. Wait a minute. There was no roar. It's only Daddy at the door. Aww. I like that ending. I don't
sounds
that
like the you missed part.
I don't often do the aww. What?
In the distance here that we're all looking at, it's a dinosaur. What was the next line? Two tons heavy, 12 feet tall, something like that. I thought there was something else in there. I guess not.
I read it. I didn't miss anything.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I promise you. Oh, here we go. He put it right on the board. I see what he did. He put it on the board. Yeah, good. If you're listening, AP, great. That's put it right on the board. That's where I want it. Okay. Just put one on the board, Sky, but on tarmac waiting to fly to Melbourne. So is it calling in or are we reading it? I'm not sure.
He's on the tarmac.
Yeah, he could be there for a while.
Yeah. Let's see. Hatter, you want to talk about your upcoming show?
Saturday,
yeah. The prompt is beans.
Beans?
Yeah. It takes a human beans.
A malted bean stack?
Coffee beans, black beans, pinto beans.
Coffee.
Human beans.
Oh, or you can go totally Roll Dahl, because in Roll Dahl, the BFG, the Big Friendly Giant, he always called them human beans.
You could go Old English, old bean.
What's that? What do you mean?
That was an English expression back in the day. You called someone old bean.
Yeah.
Old bean?
What is Mr. Bean?
They call
Mr.
people
bean.
It's old bean.
Yeah.
Or you could bean
so
someone off the head. Bean someone off the head? You know that one.
My aunt, her name was Barbara Jean. And my mother used to call her Bean. And then when she would start yelling at me, she would start calling me every name. Barbara, Jean, Bonnie, Kyle, blah, blah, blah. She just called me every name that she could think of.
Every name in the book.
Bean was always in there because Barbara Jean was so close to my name that it was in there. Yeah.
I had an Aunt Barbara Jean.
What are the only beans that don't grow on the ground?
Say that again.
What type of beans don't grow on the ground?
Human beans?
Jelly beans.
Oh.
Wow.
Bad joke.
Okay. No one's laughing. I'm sorry. I thought it was funny, but I was reading at the same time. I was looking for something at the same time.
You're looking for the black jelly bean.
Sometimes it takes me a long time to get jokes. You know that better than anybody. And sometimes you even have to explain it to the point where it's not funny anymore. You've killed the life out of this joke. That often actually happens. It's even worse if I try to tell a joke that isn't like one of those, I call them popsicle stick jokes. You know, why didn't the zombie cross the road? Because he had no gut. You know, like those little simple ones. If I don't, they're not those, then I butcher them.
Skeleton walks into a bar. He orders a beer and a mop.
Is this appropriate? I don't want you telling jokes on air that aren't pre-approved.
that was the joke.
Okay.
The horse walks into a bar and orders a beer. The bartender says, "Why the long face?" No.
I'm sorry. A horse walks into a bar.
He said, "Orders a beer." Bartender says, "Why the long face?" Why the long face? But it just. Okay.
Hold on. I think we need this. All right. Do you have like the you know, the drum roll and the slam in the studio?
Yeah, I don't know where it is. It was called the rim shot on the drums, you know. Yeah.
Oh, not
I don't know
that
if it's
one.
There.
No.
I think we have is a drum roll.
Oh, okay.
So we should have.
Well, Deb will be calling in a minute. And I think she is. I've just put on a phone here. But I was going to, so let's see. Hatter, you read two. Rack,
yeah.
You read two.
Well, you
Deb
read two.
Call. Huh?
You actually read them, but thank you.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. No. I did. Now, is it sound, did I mess them up, your rhythm? Like, I feel like you and I read at a very different rhythm, so I apologize if I didn't.
No, you were fine. It's my memory of that poem is from a long time ago, and I kind of almost remember the whole thing, but I remembered it a little out of sequence, I think.
Okay.
So when you read it, I was like, wait, it wasn't how I remembered it, you know.
Like, you're messing something up, Sky. But, you know, I will admit sometimes when I read aloud and I'm just reading and I'm reading other people's poems, sometimes I put words that aren't really in there, like, because you just naturally want to finish it how you might. And I find I do that sometimes
uh-huh.
when I'm reading out loud myself. And I only know that because I was reading to someone out loud from AP, and we were on the phone, and they were looking at what I was reading, and she was like, that's not even what it says. What are you doing? And then she called me out on it often, and I'm like, oh, maybe I do that, and I don't realize it.
So sometimes it doesn't look
yeah.
familiar.
Yeah.
Hello, Sky.
How are you?
Hello. I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I'm loving this picture that I just clicked on. Oh, God, so cute.
Oh, isn't he cool?
Oh, yeah. So we're taking a survey, but no one knew that we were taking a survey. So if you were to be buried in a coral reef or to be put in a bag under a tree, yeah, Rack's laughing. That's what I really want to do. I want to be put in a bag under the trees to feed the trees. So would you rather be in the water
after you die.
As a leaf or, yeah, after you die, or in a body bag under the tree? What are you – you can only have these two options. Which one are you going to choose?
Okay, wait a minute. I'm in a body bag, and what's the other one?
Or you could be the my first prompt, the remains that get made. Your remains get melded into, like, this concoction, and you get put into this as a coral reef.
In other words, you're cement.
I don't want to be in the bag, so I'll go with the concoction.
Okay, all right. Hatter picked the body bag, but I didn't explain it that way to Hatter, so maybe it seemed more palatable. Awesome. All right. Take us away, Deb.
Okay. This is called His Female Frogfish and Her Hit and Run Fun. Here we go. He made them with built-in rods and lures. The anglerfish dangle it like bait on scene. King Neptune colored the warded critters with scarlet red and yellow and tangerine. Declared the spawn of Satan by a mayor, and on small fish this carnivore fella dines. After fishing in the tropical sea reef buffet with appendages and not tackle and lines. Neptune's frogfish do not ribbit like a toad as they dwell under their water camouflaged. Those lion-weight predator fish pounce hard in speeds that their prey just cannot dodge. Ambulating by gulping with the massive mouth, hairy frogfish are prized by photographers, snapping every passerby in the camera lens, clicking light as the fish huff and puff and stir. Mating dance circling and vibrating movement is the big guy showing off for the dotted female. She yawns and swims off seeking sushi snacks. Leaving all the eggs that are attached to the male. Ending her wham-bam encounter, she set sail. And boom.
Sorry.
Wham-bam.
I know that's what I started laughing at. I couldn't hold it. Oh, my goodness. I love this. So did you, what made you write to the fish?
The colors. The colors. Fact that they're like little dragon critters. The fact that the guy has to carry the eggs around, not the chick. I don't know.
That's so cool. I
thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. I love sea creatures. I loved how you wrote King Neptune, colored watered critters. I really loved that part. And, I mean, because you take Neptune, obviously he's the opposition of Poseidon. So I thought that was really cool how you did that. And then where was this? The Spawn of Satan by Mayer. This is so creative. And then, of course, you have all these little just fun little things, but they're all the facts in there as well. You talk about the wars, you talk about all the little tiny facts, talk about his appendages and his tackle and lines, and then like this right here, the speeds that their prey just cannot dodge. And we talked about some of the facts earlier, and you brought them all in just in a poetic way, which I always really enjoy. And then that part that made Hatter and I, we had to both laugh at the same time. That was really funny. We were like, oh, we get it, because it was such a fun play on words. And, of course, I just love sushi snacks. So I really love sushi, but I never think about it when I'm eating. But it's just so wonderful. I don't eat the eggs, though, those little tiny little eggs on the sushi. I don't do that. My godson, he gets very adventurous. And he'll order anything on the – he orders anything and everything he likes to try at once. And he's gotten the little eggs. And I don't want that. just wonderfully done. I really appreciate you bringing in the facts, bringing in the fun and the colors in a creative way. Really well done. Thank you so much, Deb. And back and forth. What do you think?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this, Deb. You know, you remind me of you kind of pointing out evolution, because the anglerfish, I think that's a deep sea fish, and his lure lights up, so you wouldn't be able to see it in normal waters. But he's only down in the deep, so this is something a little closer to the surface, a little more, you know, visible, I guess, literally, because you know. Well, in some ways, I guess he's not visible because he's camouflaged. So he's got like chameleon parts and anglerfish parts, and you know, he's like almost I can't even say a fish version of a duck-billed platypus, because that's kind of a fish too, but it's not. It's a mammal, that the only mammal that lays eggs. But yeah, that's kind of amazing. The whole conglomeration of it, you bring it about in a very beautiful and colorful way.
Thank you, Raconteur. Any chance to use my crayons, I jump on it.
Excellent. And Hatter?
Yeah, looking at that first frogfish, he's all dressed up, to, you know, no place to go. What is he trying to, I'm looking at it, what has he changed colors to? What part of the ocean is candy striped?
To different things in the reef or whatever, or wherever they happen to be posing. From what I understand, mm-hmm. They're just these slow little critters and they mosey along, but yet... when they are hunting, they camouflage to the area around them. And then the most fascinating thing is that even though they're slow as molasses, I call it snap action, is the fastest in the world of any animal. I was like, wow. They might be slow as hell, but they can throw that mouth open and hit you before you blink.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Satan part I thought was pretty cool, because I read that the mayor of some place labeled them the spawn of Satan. But I think they're cool.
Oh, wow.
They are.
That was a true fact.
And that yellow one, the second from the left, it's that little piece is his appendage, and he's literally like fly fishing with it. He dangles it like this, and then, I mean, it's like, come on. And that, he just goes through all that, you know, dangles it, catches it, does his little dance for her, and then she just strolls off for sushi. I thought it was a cute little turning of the tables there. It's usually a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
If you're going to go out to eat, why not have sushi?
No, thanks.
So,
I know Sai likes it, so I needed a way to work it in.
Patter, I just want to tell you, because you made a comment, but Deb always brings in the facts. Like, I think Deb should make a little learning book. I feel like she could really put one together of, like, all the little random creatures and really random stuff that I've made her write about, that she's actually written the facts about it in a creative way. I feel like it could be, like, a learning book, but a poetry learning book. I feel like this should happen in life.
You could do the which fact is true.
What was the two cops? What was his name from Dragnet? Just
Joe
the facts,
Friday.
Man. Just
Joe
the
Friday.
Facts, man. Just the facts.
They all have to have her author's notes in the bottom too, in the bottom of the page, because they're all really filled. Deb, I want to know. I do want you to plug your shows. I do want to say thank you for writing this. I always really look forward to your poems, because they're factual, they're fun, they're creative, they're poetry, and they're of random things that I just like to learn about, and I think it's cool.
I was rushing, so I didn't get to put any of my stuff in the bottom. But two things. I have to say, you made the comment about King Neptune, and I'm thrilled that you did, because, in all honesty, I had Poseidon, and I'm like, no, I wrote about Poseidon last time. I need to bring out King Neptune, so I'm glad that you noticed that. And because of poems I've written for you specifically, you're not the first one that tells me I should put them in a little children learning thing. That's funny.
Yeah, I really think you should. I think they're fun. I think it's a fun way to learn. I love when you can learn new things like this in creative ways that stick with you. And I feel like this is such a unique way to put information. It would stick with people because it's funny, it's humorous. Humor always, when you're learning, you should always put in humor because it sticks with you. You laugh and your brain just, you remember the joke, and then you say, oh, yes, I remember what I learned. Secondary, but at least you remember it. And then, of course, it's just a very unique way of putting factual information. It's just really cool how you do it. But like I said, I do want you to plug your show, but I also, everybody got to read two, and I want to give you the opportunity also to maybe put down one more poem. I do know that you've written for a lot of someone's contests lately, if you want to grab one of those, or you can do whatever you want. Another one if you want.
If you hit auto rank on my page right now, number one, number two, and number three is from your Oktoberfest. Just saying.
Well, I love that you're writing for all the Oktoberfest. Oh, you wrote for the mushroom one. Okay. Oh, yeah. The alien. Yep.
Yeah.
I see. One.
I think I'm on like 14 or 15.
I know. I was excited when I seen you enter them.
Is there one you prefer to hear?
No, you pick. I want you to pick. That would make me happier, actually. I want you to pick the one you like the best. Or
Which one's your favorite child?
Even if it's not the best, if it's just one you feel like picking, that's what you pick. So, whatever one.
I got to go. I'll call my dad. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. I'm thinking like I have. All right. I'm driving myself crazy. Which one do I read?
The pressure is on.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to go with the one I just finished today rather than one of the ones at the top three, just because it's another little giggle. And believe it or not, I don't know if I'd call it the same topic, but a little bit similar in humor. As soon as I find voices, it'll be there. Where the hell did the group go?
Oh, I didn't put it on. I already got it. The duck one?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll put it there. There we go.
Okay, and this is by an amazing picture from Ms. Sky Darkholm. And if you look close at the picture, and since Rack can't, I will say that it is a male and a female duck. And they have their backs to each other, like they won't even look in the same direction. And it's that attitude of their backs to each other that gave me the idea for my poem. So it's called Duck Wives Give the Silent Treatment Too. Here we go. This foul crowd lines the swamp grass shores, waiting for the neon sun to set as they do. Tonight is the Quack Pack Jamboree at Willow Pond and date night for Link and Lily Mallard, too. But she spied him eyeing up the white-crested duck. So now her mate finds himself in deep poo. Then he winked at the passing khaki Campbell twins. Honks and hisses echoed, then plucked feathers flew. Now it's the cold feather and into Spot's doghouse with the turkey brothers and the male swan crew as the females bust them for all their looky-loo. And poke.
Awesome. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you got to read this one. Oh, my goodness. I know Brack is biting at the chomp, but you can't have it first. Or chomping at the bit, right? I'm biting at the chomp.
Yes.
But you can't. Sorry. You're going to have to wait a moment. So wonderful. First of all, I didn't want to go back, but I really want to highlight this cold feather instead of the cold shoulder. I thought that was so clever and so fun. I'm smiling ear to ear to that. I thought that was so cool. There were so many other things, though. The foul crowd. I took the picture. I see the picture. I put up the picture. I never thought about them looking. I never realized the posture of them both looking away like they were fighting. Like, it never dawned on me, but that is exactly what it is. And I think it's so cool that, like, where your mind went, like, it was just something fun like that. And, of course, all these things, like Link and Lily Mallard, I really love that. I love the catch rhyme and the feather and the deep poo and the feathers flew. I thought that was a really cool catch line. And how he was eyeing all the details. He was eyeing the white crested duck. I thought that was wonderful details. And then there was such wonderful wordplay. And the honks and hisses echoed, then plucked feathers flew. Now it's the cold feather into the spot doghouse. But that's not the one I was looking for. Where is that? Right here. The wrinkled and the passing. This Campbell's twins was a really fun twist. And then right at the end with the looky-loo. I know I'm stealing all the words. I'm sorry. Stealing all the lines. I thought this was so funny. I was smiling. I thought it was just hilarious, clever, so creative. And I really, when I do these pictures, I love when people can make me see the picture in a different way than what I've been looking at. And I thought this was really cool. Rack, there's...
What an awesome comment. And I learned about the khaki Campbell. I didn't know it was such a thing, so there you go.
Yeah, this is fantastic with the duck facts and everything. As much as I can't see the picture, I can see the picture in your words. Just describing that the two ducks having a fight was like, you know, I could immediately see at least the silhouette, and then you brought in all the colors and the shading as you went further in the poem, and then you added a lot of beautiful background with the other details about all the different birds that he was staring at. I thought this was fantastic. I really did. I have to bring out my favorite duck fact. They used to believe that a duck's quack doesn't echo, but they proved that it actually does, but it happens so fast that it sounds like it's one continuous noise. But they proved that it does echo. It's just it happens so fast that it doesn't sound like it's echoing. It's a cool duck
cool.
fact. Yeah.
Duck fact. Got it.
So, and you brought me the British duck, and I love all things England. I really do love ducks. I feel like I ducks are one of my favorite animals. Like, if someone said, "What's your favorite animal?" I would say hippocampus, and they would say, "That's not an animal; it's a mythical creature." And I would say, "Well, fine, a duck."
I thought the hippocampus was part of the brand.
Yeah, I really do love ducks. I just think they're so cute. I mean, they're dirty. They're terribly dirty. I wouldn't want to, like they're really dirty. They're like, you know, any type of, you know, chicken. They're just a little dirty, but I just really like them. I have a question before you plug. AP dropped a poem. Should I read it or should I save it? Like, what does AP prefer? I'm not sure what
it's
his
not that he
was.
Would not want you to read for him, but I'm surprised that he didn't tell you, sorry, Sky, I won't be able to call, or I'll call in 10 minutes, or some such thing. Did he send it to you directly, or I don't
he
your topic
on,
board?
He put it on a main board, and then he wrote, it just put one in the board, Sky, but on Tim, it's
okay.
To Melody.
Well, I do know.
But I'd be happy to save it if you want to read it to me live.
Well, he was just trying to contribute because I do know because he told me that he was jam-packed with business stuff this week and he'd be scarce. So my bet would be that he assumed that you'd read for him or assign somebody. So.
Okay. All right.
Up to you.
Okay. It's just me and you. And do you have to go?
I can wait for one more poem.
Okay, because I'm going to close out after this, but I do want to, I want you to plug your shows.
Okay, I can do that. Tomorrow night is Open Poetry with Liquid Damage. There's no theme or anything, just whatever you would love to share, she would love to hear about. Again, that's 10 p.m. tomorrow night. And then on Saturday with me, AP, and Hatter, the topic is beans, such as beans, they're good for your heart. And I have to check my son's schedule before I know what time it goes live, so I'm not totally sure. And then on Monday, it's an artist whose name I could not pass up. His name is Greg Crayola Simpkins, and since everyone calls me the crayon poet, how could I not bring an artist whose name is Greg Crayola Simpkins? Anyway, he's got some really funky art. He has been featured in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, Spider-Man 2, and The Ultimate Spider-Man. And he's made a leap to full-time artist in 2005. And Sky, there's like Star Wars and Sesame Street Critters and even South Park where Kenny has angel wings. So they killed him and he really died this time because he's got wings. There's Dumbo and Batman. I mean, it's a really, really fun artist. So I'm looking forward to see what everybody comes up with these. And that's also at 10 o'clock. And thank you.
I have looked at all your things. I have them up and I'm gonna keep going back. I've still been really busy, but I tend to try to kind of keep your tabs open so I could try to write. I know I wrote for two of them. I almost read. I was gonna read, but then I realized that one hasn't been ready yet. Was the tomato bisque, but I'm waiting. I won't read it before we get in the show.
I was just noticing that on this Crayola guy, the very last prop I put up there is a twisted rendering of sort of Mickey Mouse. So, I mean, nobody's sacred. Even Pinocchio's in these somewhere. So you can have fun with them even if you have to bring it as an IOU later. Even Count Dracula and Snuffleupagus are in one of them. Damn. Okay,
he went after Figaro, too.
I don't think I'm going to do an IOU. I've been trying to do do, even if they're just brevities. I've been trying to be a little bit more. I gotta write. I gotta take some time for me to write too. And I do enjoy your pictures. So the reason why I asked you if you could stay, I was wondering if you could actually read for him. I know you just read twice, but I didn't know if you would.
I would love to.
Okay.
Okay, let me get back over there. Okay. Oh, cool title. This is called Rather Like Dragons by A.P. Taylor. Here we go. Today, more flies than fearsome. Gee, are noisy rather than other. Hovering wings flutter like a drum. If follow faded whispers, discover. Imagine 50 times the size some their wings could beat or smother. A predator of fear when did come, few entire horizon would cover. See phantoms of waters hum late at night, a sight soon uncover. Around pools we'll find out some, while they glisten in sun as hover. Larger than many birds plump, their fearsome shadows recover. Flap of wings enough to numb, and the fear of insects rediscover. End poem.
Excellent. And you read, so you get the first comment.
Oh, cool. I was just realizing that I'm pretty sure there's some trickle-down effect there, because I thought I read, like the rediscover. Ah, okay, we have discover at the beginning and rediscover at the end. And it's a unirhyme, and that's hard as far as the, let me see, A, B, some drummed. Oh, shown off. It's A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B, all the way through. Wow. And like I said, there was a feel of the poem being driven by that rhyme pattern. Imagine 50 times the size some their wings could beat or smother. A predator of fear when did come, few entire horizon would cover. It's like they're so big they can cover the entire horizon. So it's like really, really cool as far as the rhyme and the little details. Because, like, think about it being a dragonfly, a dragonfly bigger than some of the really plump birds of, you know, prehistoric times. So, like, clever, fun, and my honor to be his reader.
Excellent. Yeah, and thank you for the dev read, and thank you for calling. I'll let you go. I'll let you leave.
Check you guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Deb. And I thought this was cool. And, of course, Hatter has a wonderful way of, not Hatter, I'm sorry, AP has a wonderful way of stringing rhyme and clever lines together. I like that he went with dragons, rather like dragons. I know he did it on purpose. I know that he knows I like dragons or love dragons rather. So I thought that was fun that he kind of played with that. And I do love how he kind of went with the hovering wings flutter like a drum to follow, faded whispers discover. Beautiful rhyme, but the rhyme scheme, I thought he did a really cool. And the thing is that if you look at the over here, the recover line and uncover and recover, I don't know, they just, they really kind of blend together quite nicely. And I also, I think my favorite stanza would have to be, their fearsome shadows recover, flap the wings enough to numb, because I would be very frightened. And definitely, I think not just the insects would, you know, rediscover that meaning of fear. I think anybody, anything smaller, especially me, would be, and they're actually technically smaller than me, but I still would be freaked out. Wonderfully, wonderfully done, AP. I really appreciate you bringing it. And what do you think, Rack?
Yeah, he did an amazing job like he usually does. I love the rhyme scheme, too. It's one of those things where, you know, like me, if I can't see it, you know, listening to it, you can kind of hear the cadence of it. And, you know, I can't help but hear it in his voice, too, which is kind of cool. I thought it was wonderfully done. And, you know, it's appropriate, too, because, you know, in Australia, you know, they say everything's trying to kill you. So to pick that particular one, I thought was very appropriate for him, too. And dragons as opposed to dragonflies, you know, it would feel like it was a baby dragon being, you know, as big as it is. So, again, that's not much of a stretch as it is, you know, more of a metaphor. So I really liked it. He, you know, no leaps and bounds, no crazy anything. It's just, you know, a beautiful piece.
Thank you, Rack, and thank you so much, AP. And I lied to you guys. We will not be closing out after that one because I think my sweet pea called me.
No, she didn't.
I did. I came
Hello.
In right at 41 minutes. I'm a little early. I told you 45 minutes.
I was going to close out after that one. So you made it just in time.
Yes, I went with the little draggy crazy fly things because I was like the most interesting weird thing, and I love dragonflies. So I kind of pulled out an old poem that kind of talks to them like they're the rulers of the universe. So I thought this might fit. It's a little odd. It's a little off, but I think if they're that big and that wild, I really think at the time they were the total, like, beings of the universe. So I'm going to go with my poem. And it's not quite on topic, but I think it might be because you have a way of making things look that way.
I wrote about a humongous cat. So, I mean, you're fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're absolutely
good.
Fine. I'm so glad that you called and you said hi to me because I missed your voice. I know that I've not been on the air anywhere, not even on, like, I've nowhere been on the air in a couple weeks. So I missed you. So I'm glad you called. And I'm happy to listen to anything you're reading.
Okay, good. I'm glad. As you can listen to my husband yell at my dogs. So this is... let's see, Graceful Wings by Sweet Pea. And here we go. And it's very noisy here because it's dinner time, and I apologize. But what's really cool about this picture of a dragonfly in the moonlight, okay? It's one of my favorite pictures. Play a tune in midnight blue notes, low and slow, jagged with rumbling tones, from a deep jazz sound of an onyx stone throat. Blaze the fires of blood-red moon. Drop the beads off lush green jungle. Leave the heat of an afternoon. Be the wind in the sea. Stand and dance, be seen. Slowly, roughly, wildly untamed. Do not ignore the dragons. The keeper of the human beings. For have we not abandoned? We are we things. Now flying on graceful wings in poem.
Oh, I love it. It's just beautiful. I see it's on a recommendation list, and I see why. I love the magic. You brought this was magical, absolutely magical. I felt like I was being whisked away in a storybook, and I was taken to this world of magic and fantasy, but also had a sense of lull and belonging and almost like communing with nature. And especially down here, when it says, do not ignore the dragon, the keeper of human beings. For we have not abandoned, we are we things. You know, saying every creature, everything has a purpose and a reason. And, of course, don't ignore all those magical things in our lives. And that's what it reminds me of. Like, be the dreamer. Remember that, you know, there are dragons and there are, I don't know. I know that fairies weren't brought in this, but that's what it reminds me of. Just remember there's this beautiful world of fantasy that can live inside you. I just really love that about it. I'm really glad you brought this one, sweet.
Thank you.
It makes
not
me feel like it's
yours, but.
Huh?
But...
No, it's
not quite.
I feel like I'm in my. I'm sorry?
So it's not quite as evil as your bugs, but it has those bugs
no.
in it.
It is not evil, but I love that about it. So this is a thing. The things that I put up are completely inspiration. I tell people, you literally, what I really care about is that, well, I care about the poetry. Let me rephrase this. The prompts are inspiration, and I really care when people call and we can talk about the subject, and we can kind of say, oh, these are the cool facts we learned, but here's my poem, and it has nothing to do with it, but I inspired it. Or here's the cool facts I've learned, like Deb says. I put all the cool facts in it, and I put it in poetry. I like to see how diverse people can be and what they're inspired with. And if it's fiction, fantasy, nonfiction, humor, like Deb usually goes to, I like it all. And actually, this kind of brings me in my peaceful place. And that's a great...
You're welcome.
And I'm going to get a comment from Raconteur.
This is beautifully elegant, sweet. There's a lot of fantasy in it, but, you know, there's parallels to life, too, like you tend to put undertones of in a lot of what you write. I like the ideas of the, you know, the keepers of human beings and things like that and the dragons. It's just wistful and you know, I think the best description of it is, you know, what I said at first is it's just elegant. It's lovely.
Aw, thank you.
Excellent. And I want to thank you again. And I want to give you the opportunity to tell me about any shows that you have coming up.
Next Tuesday, we will have my third show for Halloween month, and that is the horror writer Stephen King. I'm very excited to do Mr. King. I'm sorry, I lied. It's Peter Straub. Stephen King is my last one. You're doing Peter Straub. I'm sorry, I missed you, Peter. I didn't mean to. Stephen King is my final one in October. But yeah, last week was Anne Rice, and that was fabulous. We're doing Straub, and then we're doing King. So those are my next two Tuesdays on Sweet Discussion, how horror authors is what we're doing this month. So we have Straub and then we have King. So we're going to have Duke Clive and Straub. So we're going to do Clive Barker and Peter Straub next week.
Hmm. I've read some Clive.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Actually,
a lot
you
of
know
fun.
What? I think I have a pre-write for Clive. What day are you on, Tuesday?
Tuesday night. 8 o'clock. Or 10 o'clock.
I've been working. Is it 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock this time.
All right. I'll do that. I'll stop by. I can't stay for super long, but I will. I work from 8 AM till 8:15 PM that day. If I'm not asleep, I will call it 10. Poor Deb.
All right, if you're not asleep.
So I told Deb, I wrote for Deb's show. I finally wrote for a show. It's been 2 months since I wrote a poem. I wrote Deb a poem, and I'm like, I'm going to call. And then she's like, Sky said she was going to call. I fell asleep, and I called her show at like 11:40. And she's like, why are you even up? And I'm like, I fell asleep. I was waiting for your show. And I fell asleep, and I'm awake now. And I'm going to read. She's like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I'm
awake
now, I promise.
Zombies attack.
Yeah.
I wasn't really awake.
That's fabulous.
Well, I do appreciate you calling, sweet. And
okay.
I miss your face. I really do. And that bird is really creepy. I'm not going to lie. It's one of the most creepiest things I've seen in a while.
I know. Did you get my other one?
Really?
Did you get the other one? The Pretty Sweet Seduction and the Sky Science
I
Special.
Did.
We should do together. That's hilarious. I'm sorry. That thing cracked. Just the picture alone. I'm like, oh my God, that's a combination show. I'm just a sick person, but. That's just wrong.
I was trying to figure out what I was looking at while I was on the show. I'm like trying to run the show and I'm trying to look at the picture you sent me and I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at right now.
It's fruit with human lips and I'm like, Okay. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I was like, that's fun. And then you have to comment on my last front page pick because you haven't, and I'm very upset with you.
Oh, send it to me. Just if you want me to read a poem and comment, just send it to me. I know some people are like, don't spam me poems, but you could totally spam me. You could just tell me, hey, guy, read this, and
Matt
I will.
Is
and
in
I'll
love with it. He has been my biggest supporter. If you want to hear it, I'll read it to you because I'm staying like that. I do have to run.
So much for me getting out here early. All right, yes, I would love you to read it to me. I
you don't
love
have to, but...
I know.
Well,
you
want to hear it again?
You have to read it now.
I'm very vain.
You want to hear it. You definitely
want
to hear it.
I want to hear it. Yeah. I can't shut down the show now. Fuck me.
All right.
Not to mention, I got to
read
twice. And Hatter got to read twice, so it's only fair.
Everybody got to read twice, actually. Every person who called got to read twice, except for me, but I don't want to read twice.
I'm only doing
so,
it because it's you, and I love you, and... this is kind of really, like, I'm proud of this poem, and I don't usually do that very much, so...
Okay. No, we're good.
I don't. I'm like, yeah, my poems usually suck, and I never say anything about them.
Shut up.
But I'm actually... Shut up. I like this one, so I'm being kind of vain, which I'm usually not. Usually,
you
I don't say anything.
No.
Oh,
kidding.
Okay.
All right. Ooh, I like this picture
is,
already.
I know, peace never found man. The hours pray for minutes to slow as days age into centuries. Diamonds again turn to coal and the bloodless become dust as the wind blows cold across the barren land of the loveless. Cursed to earth by evil birth, a blackened heart the devil gave her. Her skin the color of snow with earth-soiled hair. An abandoned angel lost in a sinner's grin, waited on a savior. Her feathered friends, death and peace, told tales of woe, and she was forced to cage the mean one. For peace was bold and sought to tell the world to follow in his wisdom, kind to all mankind and natural in his fairness. No one escaped the final fate, regardless of what bounds them. Love or hate, never judge, taken to the grave of blindness. Doves in white cry tonight of his warped and madness. Death is not kind, and peace is the cause of sadness. Tears that flow met both those in hatred of passion. Ravens caw the melodies as humans cry in woeful tones. All died alone, wishing for a hand to hold. Or locked away in a cage, peace never found them. Cursed to earth, a blackened heart the devil gave her, her skin the color of the snow, with earth-soiled hair. An abandoned angel, lost in a sinner's grin, waited on a savior. The hours pray for minutes to slow, as days age into centuries. Diamonds again turn to coal, and the bloodless become dust as the wind blows across the barren land of the loveless and home.
Oh, that was wonderfully macabre. This is an excellent piece. The penultimate stanza was my favorite for sure. I loved it all, but this penultimate stanza, the curse to earth by devil birth, a blackened heart the devil gave her. Her skin, the color of snow, with earth-soiled hair, an abandoned angel lost in a sinner's grin, waited on a savior. That was my favorite. That was my favorite part. Besides, you know, and I think it's actually dual. I have a dual favorite part because I really liked the last stanza when you say the diamonds again turn to coal, and the bloodless become dust. I thought that was such a brilliant line. Those four lines really stood out to me. They were my favorite. Although lines like that are wonderful, but they are even, you know, more stunning when you put together the back backdrop and the storyline. And the idea is that you've already threaded through the entire piece to go out with a big bang, which really is what you did. And that's really what you want to do when you're brickworking a story like this, and you're going from point A to point B, and you're telling the story. And at the very end, you're just getting very vibrant with the meat of it, I believe, almost summing up the most important emotions, which I think you did brilliantly. This is really great. I really love the dark setting, play on death, and you brought in, of course, the hatred of passion, the raven's caw and the woeful tones. There was such delicious dark images. And I really have to say that ending, I was very impressed with the ending. Very well done. And I'm glad you read it to me out loud.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm
going to
have to tomorrow and read it.
I know. Yeah. It's okay. I like my private readings, but this is cool. This is okay too. Now I say a comment on air. See, like, she'll read me something and on the phone, and I'm like, yeah, that was good. But when I'm here, I make longer comments. But so I'm glad you read it. But I really do love it. I love either way when you read to me. I always like to hear poetry live. I like to be read to. Rack, what do you think?
Oh, the beginning, that this was brilliant. You know, I love the book ending. I love the final thought. You know, it's to me just such a it's macabre, but it's like it's life too. I mean, you bring in death, you bring in love or lack of death of love. I mean.
Yeah. Brack nominated this from the front page. He's been my biggest fan, and
oh,
I have to thank you from the bottom of my heart. He's just been a total sweetheart about it.
Well, since I love steak, that was a great compliment.
Yeah.
From the bottom
but
of my heart.
But now get the hell out of here. Yeah.
From the bottom
of my morbid cow heart.
Well, thank you. We have 3 minutes. You have 3 minutes left. So I do want to say thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Stephen, Rose Ryder, Raconteur, Hatter, Sweet Pea, Deborah Lee, AP, for all calling, for all contributing, for sending in poems if you couldn't call and asking for a reader, sharing your time, your thoughts, and your really random stuff with me. I appreciate you guys.
Nice, sky.
Nice. And I do have a closeout song. I don't know how it's going to convey over air, but I'm going to do it. Like I said in the beginning, it is October, and, you know, about 5 years ago, I lost a friend of mine. Great guy, musician, one of my first fans of my poetry. We used to sit out study hall in high school, and he would, you know, get his guitar because when we were seniors, we were pretty much let to do what we wanted to do, and we were allowed to sit outside or in the cafe with his guitar, and he would play music to my poems, and I mean, I think even he wrote in my yearbook about poetry. So he was a great guy, and he loved YouTube, and among other things. I don't know how well this is going to relay, like I said, to over the air, because it is live, just to give you a warning. This is live. So, actually, is this a live one? Now, I don't know if this is a live one. Oh, my goodness. I don't think this is a live one. And I put the wrong one in. Raconteur, talk about something, because I want to put the right one in.
I don't know that I can fill the airtime talking about things. Oh, dad jokes. No.
All by yourself.
Oh,
because
talking to myself.
I do have
yeah,
one
I'm not familiar
there,
with that either. Just do what you're
going
to do. Stop yapping and do what you're going to do. I'm talking.
Okay.
Don't ask me to talk and then start talking, because then I'm going to start talking to you, and then you're not going to do what you're trying to do. I mean, come on.
Oh, come on. I love it.
I mean, you know, in these days, I swear to God, you know, the whole evolution thing, you know, doesn't just apply to fish. We old people tend to talk about things in ways that, you know, it makes young people roll their eyes, I guess, you know. So if you're rolling your eyes, I'm older than you. If you're not rolling your eyes, I'm probably still older than you. Seriously, though, the expression that comes to mind is, you know, you were vaccinated with a phonograph needle. And the shame of that is people don't know what a phonograph is anymore. Anyway, so I'm... Anyway, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Rack. I appreciate you.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
I got it. I just had to wait. So I'm going to make sure this is, you know, it's in there, but I put up a couple, a little
it's
bit about
the
original.
Live version.
It is a live version. So, like, it was him performing live. So there is talking in the background, so you are going to hear a bit of talking. It is from YouTube. It's for The Streets Have No Name, and of course, a little bit about it. In 1995, Bono visited Ethiopia after performing at Live Aid. Many assume the song is about the trip, since the streets were really since they really don't have names, just numbers. The song is actually about islands. In Ireland, North Island, many cities are divided, rich, poor, different religions. And, of course, by knowing which street a person lives on, you could tell their religion, wealth, and beliefs. And it's where the streets have no name. So there's a little bit about that. And that's a little bit of song facts about it. So I'm going to be playing this. Soon as I load up, I hope you like YouTube. They did, I don't know, they did a, Bono kind of performed in the thing too. I know it's an animated film, but you know how I am about animated film. And I'm not going to lie, I was watching it with my goddaughter, and at the end of the movie, he comes out with one of the songs that my friend did. Like, we were just, I have it on video camera. We were just messing around the street. And she looked at me, and I was getting a little emotional, and she said to me, "Mom said your friend used to sing this song." And I'm like, why did she do that? Why did she tell you that? Yeah. All right, so here we go.
His name is Dave Buster. Love you too.
Yeah, I know. Here we go.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Oh, that's my pleasure.
Okay, I'm going to stop over to Poetic Slice and talk about the fly a little bit. And then I think I have to clean my house. So, bye. Thank you guys so much. All right, bye.
You sing Dog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Exactly.